Okay, we are back from executive session at 8:15. Next up on the agenda is Employee of the Month, who unfortunately left.
Yeah, Teresa. If we got into executive session, I realized that we probably should have done the executive session after that. Teresa Ravencraft is our Employee of the Month. She's our library aide at Creekview. The past several years, she's been a library aide at Raymond. And she's made a nice transition to Creekview. We reopened that library. We're handling Raymond differently through some aides out there without adding any staff. So I feel badly that Teresa was not here. She's done an outstanding job for us and created some computer classes for kids during their special rotations and so on. So staff nominated her, and it's always a great honor to be nominated by your peers.
Absolutely.
So I will pass along.
Please do.
Yeah, we'll do that.
All right. Then I move we accept Teresa Ravencraft as the September Employee of the Month.
So moved.
No, I moved.
Second.
Oh, I'll second it. Sorry.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Freidenberg.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, Ohio High Point report, which we've decided to move along from until next month.
Wasn't my choice, Roy.
That's right. All right. Next up, public participation. First up is Krista Roccozella.
Oh, wow, first. Okay. Do I need to come up here?
No, you can sit right where you're going. You're going to talk about Race to the Top.
Yes. Actually, I'm here with some other members of Creekview MEA, Ian Ross and Bethany Ben. And we just wanted to let the board and those who are here present know of our commitment and involvement to being here to support the board and our district. Bethany and I have been a part of the Race to the Top team pretty much since its inception back in probably late March, early April, was when we had some of our first preliminary meetings. And since then, as you know, Ohio received some of the funding. So ever since we found that out, there's been a group of us, a team made up of administrative and select teachers who've been meeting. I believe we met five full days since the start of school. We've donated and dedicated our time, and between about 10 or 11 of us total, we created the four-year plan that was just submitted to ODE on Friday. We had a vote from our executive council of MEA, and we all voted to submit it. And we're waiting on feedback back from the state right now. But we feel the team that worked together on it, we feel that it's a very good proactive step that we're taking as teachers and administration. It's lined up with House Bill 1. Like I said, it's a four-year plan. And it's going to allow our district to kind of revamp what we've been doing. And it's going to start from admin on down through teachers, on down through the students. And the group that we worked on, we're very excited about what we put together. It not only affects our data and how we use it and the assessments, it talks about great teachers and leaders. So everybody will be involved in one way or another in how the plan is carried out. This small group met together. We're already in technically year one of it, and we have some very lofty goals that we've set, and we're hoping through the support of the board and our MEA that we can continue throughout the plan, and our end result is to better ourselves as teachers, administrators, and do the best we can for our kids.
So you submitted your scope of work, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, we did. 55 pages, thank you. Yes. A lot of brainstorming, a lot of discussion, a lot of critiquing, but we feel very proud of the work we put together. So
is that someplace that we can all?
I was about to ask, when can we take a look at
this? I believe Greg Stubbs has the master copy of it, and it was basically one of those, everything we created, it was like a click of the button sent kind of thing once the final draft was done. It is on the computer. It is accessible. I know
I have
Greg
a copy.
Has the final.
We submitted it Friday.
Right, yeah. You submit it Friday. Do they have to, I mean, are they going to come back with revisions you have to make?
Yes.
Is this a kind of a cycle process?
Yes, it's going to be a feedback, but the state, yes, it's a working document. The state, after a couple meetings that they had, they kind of came back with guidelines after we had already had like our first three meetings. They came back and said, oh, by the way, you might want to look. So we took that, intertwined it with what we had already done. It's a working document, and it's one of those, if at any time we feel that it's not being productive for what our total mission statement is, we can back out. So it's not like an etched in stone. It's a working, living document that can be changed and tweaked along the way to best suit what we want to get accomplished as a district.
Excellent.
So anytime you'd like to look at it, we'd be more than willing to share. And it's one of those things you would need somebody to help you walk through it. But we know it like the back.
Well, then we may ask you to stand up here in front of us and walk us through it here very soon. I picked that up from Ann.
Ann's here in spirit. Bethany and I could do it together. So we are very proud of all.
Okay, fantastic. Well, that's good to hear. Thank you very much. And thank you for all the work that you guys have put in on it.
Oh, it was all worth it.
I'm sure it's not over yet.
Oh, no. We're hoping it's
going to happen. Okay. Thank you. Anybody else?
No, I'm okay. Thank you.
All right, next up, Robert Fraker.
I'm Robert Fraker. For the ones on the school board who do not know me. And the reason I'm here is I'm asking to be reinstated in my job that I have as head mechanic of Marysville School. There's been a lot of, how do I want to say it, lies told about me. Marysville paper printed lies about me. Get on the internet, type my name in, it comes up where I've supposedly done all these horrible things at Marysville Schools. And I sent each one of you board members a packet along with Mr. Zimmerman. And I put on my proof to where everything that I supposedly had done that I didn't do, or I had a witness or a federal affidavit signed by somebody that states it didn't happen. Also, I received a letter and some information that I spoke with Mike White, which I did speak with Mike White about 3 to 4 weeks ago. And somehow the attorney got the information that I had asked Mike to reimburse me for mileage, and that is not true. I spoke to Mike about other things. It included the mileage, and it included, the way things were done at the transportation office that he did not agree with that Janet was doing. But at no time I did not ask Mike for a reimbursement of mileage or nothing like that. And it's stuff like this that has to stop. I mean, I'm a good mechanic. I worked very well with all the drivers. The drivers, they're afraid to come and speak because they're afraid of losing their jobs. And the people at Marysville Schools often have to work under these conditions of being afraid of their jobs just for speaking the truth. So that's why I'm asking, I want to be reinstated into my job.
Okay. Thank you. Next up, David Smith.
Yes, I'd like to address the board members. 2 weeks prior to him testifying in federal court about one of the employees at the Marysville Schools, he was advised if he testifies against her, he would lose his job. And this comes to be. Nothing's been proved. He has affidavits counterproductive from what's been said, stating that it wasn't true, and I think his job should be reinstated. I'm a taxpayer. We elect you on the board to oversee the schools. And I'm sure that some people in here on the board, they have loved ones working in the school system that might be scared for their loved ones if they rule against Bob. So take that into consideration. nothing has ever been out in the paper saying that he was, you know, forgiven for anything. So that's something else to take into consideration.
Well, okay. Thank you. Marilyn Hutchins.
I have mine in writing only because I know I'll forget something if I didn't.
You're like me then.
Yeah. And obviously, I'm Marilyn Hutchins. I'm here tonight to speak on behalf of Bob Fraker. Many employees have expressed concern about speaking tonight, but I have every confidence in this board that I have nothing to fear by speaking the truth. I've been working for Marysville Schools since 1989, and our six children have graduated from Marysville. I've worked with several mechanics during my time at Marysville, and Bob Fraker is by far the easiest and the most efficient mechanic to work with. He was always professional and made the transportation area a pleasant place to be. There was a meeting held at this board office to hear the accounts of allegations against Bob. I was among the 20 or so drivers at that meeting. We were not allowed to speak on Bob's behalf that night. The secretary from the front desk, and I believe her name was Dawn, kept looking out the window to see if we were still waiting. After the meeting was adjourned, the board went into executive session. We went out into the parking lot and talked and waited. Dawn checked out the window several times, and from that we determined that they were not going to let us speak, or if they did, that it was going to be a moot point. Bob had not committed any of the allegations that were reported to the board through Marysville police reporting, to the Bob Summerall tire receipts, to the fuel usage. And just to clarify, since the head mechanic was given the use of the school truck in the past, and Bob had turned it down, that usage, to use his personal truck instead, that was where the fuel usage came into play. Also, knowing that the assistant mechanic, Andy James, was using the school's red service truck as transportation to and from work during this time and fueling it at the school's expense. To the sexual allegations, to the metal removal, to the computer misuse, things were either found not to be true, misrepresented, or not reported accurately. Bob was denied unemployment compensation. The school actively worked against him receiving the unemployment. When he would apply for a new job, the potential employer would contact his last place of employment, which obviously was Marysville Schools, and he would be promptly denied the job, even though he had all the list of qualifications. Had either one of these things, meaning the unemployment or employment in a new position, had not happened, he would not have lost his family home or the hog operation he was running. Bob was and will be again a great employee and a friend to the Marysville Schools. I end this by asking you to reinstate Bob Fraker to the position of head mechanic for Marysville School Transportation Department. He is indeed missed. And those of us that have been there for years have experienced mechanics who have been less than professional about their behavior towards the bus drivers. And as having been through 3 or 4 superintendents, we have a lot of record, myself personally, about misconduct by mechanics and bad treatment of the drivers. Bob has never treated any of us poorly. He's always serviced our vehicles in a timely way. He's always been there when we miscalculated a back end and ended up in the ditch. He was always there When my bus broke down, he was always there to fix it. Out on the road, I just can't tell you what a pleasure it was to work with him and know that I could always count on him, that I never was blamed for anything that we did as a driver. If we had an accident, it was just that. It was an accident. It wasn't, you broke the bus. None of us would break a bus on purpose. I mean, you don't want to sit out there with 50-some kids in the freezing cold on purpose. So, again, I would ask you to reinstate Bob in his head mechanic position. That's all
okay.
I have to say.
Thank you. Thank you much. And again, you know, the board takes into consideration all comments that come from the public. So I appreciate all of your input. I think that's it. If there's anybody else that wanted to address the board that didn't fill out a form, now would be your time to raise your hand. All right. Then we're going to move along. Next up, regular minutes from our September 27th meeting. I know all of you have read those, made your edits.
No edits.
Right. No corrections, additions, or deletions. We need a motion to accept those, please.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
No. Mr. Ferdinand.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, Treasurer's Report.
How much do you want me to do tonight? Step through it. I'm not going to go. I'm not even going to put it on the computer.
Yeah, put it up there.
Mm-hmm. You got to put it up there. It's exciting. So we look forward 2 times a year.
I thought we'd do this twice a month.
We do, but but not with a document with graphs in it.
Oh, okay.
You got graphs this time. Did I get an email?
No.
I have it there. I just don't have it in color.
Dude, I thought I was going to break our printer this morning. I got that right. 5 minutes a page.
Forecast is for fiscal year 11 through fiscal year 15. So 2010, 2011, that's school year. So that fiscal year is 2011, which is what we're in right now. In the notes that I sent to you, the handwritten notes that are will be out on the web soon at the State Department and on our webpage, the district receives our taxes twice a year. And this graph here gives you a little idea of the historical projected and then the analysis of that. When you look at this here, this is what we're looking at for the next 5 years. This is where we have been over the last 5 years.
Quite a lot.
There's a couple different changes, you know, in that we're receiving now our tax rate is 50% at the beginning of the school year, 50.82 in the first half, which is the second half of, it's the first half of our calendar year, second half of the tax year. And then 49.18 July through December is when we collect that percentage on our tax year. The calculation as far as the reevaluation, we had reevaluation this year. It is tax year 10 for collection in calendar year 11. So when we look at those charts that I gave you on our notes, back in 2007, we had $34 million increase in changes or increase in new property. Those new property, when you look at what happened in 2008 and 2009, almost half of that amount of our new, the taxable value has decreased compared to what it was back in 2007. So what's happened is the county auditor came in 2008, 2009, said, we've revalued those houses back in the proper year, did it outside of the terms of the of what she should be doing. So it's been a decrease. So that's why you see this big decrease here. You see another increase here, but really it's not overall. That's overall. But if you look at our new property, our new property tax, new construction, we get 1.86% this year, in this calendar year. So we aren't looking at a whole lot of property increases. Our values are going down. New construction, as you look at that on our on the next slide that I gave you in your notes, we've got $11 million in new construction property value because of those changes in those revaluations. New construction also has gone down over the last 2 years. Those equivalent changes are changes that we have no control over. Our next slide about the total valuation, that has been going down over the last 2 years. It'll probably go down. It will not go down this year. Our valuations were up overall about 1% compared to the last one with the revaluation. We thought maybe a 5% decrease, and that's what we showed in the one we gave you in August. Once we got the new numbers, we used the actual numbers. The request from Honda Taxation, that's Department of, they requested a correction, and this is our last year payment back to that. So those will be shown in our line item for other income.
So those slides aren't up there?
Yeah, let me get those up real quick. I think that'll work.
What? What is that number? What number? Oh, yeah, Honda with their award, 600, but the net effect was we got to claim some of that. Is it dropped us down to a formula, so we got to claim some of those funds back. So the net effect of that was like $300,000. Is that correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
It's like $330,000.
Right, plus $300,000.
Right,
yeah.
$330,000.
What happened is you lost local value, but because you lost local value, you gained some of it back on the. On the formula, the
right.
state
right.
formula.
Because it would have dropped us below the guarantee?
It would have.
Exactly. Here's the change in our revaluation. The big increase here in 2007. Then we lost the decrease the auditor put in 2008. And then again in 2009. Remember we talked about how there were 14 separate areas, neighborhoods that took big decreases in 2009 for property values. And this year, in my case alone, buying the new house and buying our home out in Mill Valley, they're still showing at a lower rate than what the actual sale price was of the house. So she did not use sale prices of the houses. She used what she deemed was the current value. And usually in triennial updates, they use the sale prices instead of just the previous year's values. So if there's houses that were valued for less than what they were sold for in this past year, even maybe the last two, we aren't going to see any changes. Why that's important is our inside millage. And when inside millage loses anything in our values, you're going to lose actual tax dollars. The other thing on this, as it goes down, as we look at the values, the property values overall, when those go down, then the amounts that we have to pay in millage are allowed to go back up to whatever the voted was. So the voted is higher than our effective. I would say more than likely our effective will stay about the same, but we won't have that until early December at the earliest, probably not until January. This shows our total valuation over the last 3 years has declined.
What's our inside millage at now?
4.75.
So
4.7 would be your values.
That won't change.
No, but I mean, that, the net effect of property values affects our inside millage, because that doesn't fluctuate with property values.
That's the one area that will have growth in it. If you have growth, or it will decline if you have a declining valuation like we do here. The tangible personal property tax is a big deal. And this graph, I think, is probably one of the best that we can show. Tangible personal property tax has been one area that had grown all along, especially for this district. When the TPP was taken away back in 2005, you can see that our highest years were back in 2004-2005. It was valued at the 2004 level. 2005 then had growth. 2006 shows a decrease, and that's because you've got 26% or 25% coming off each year until it goes down in 2010, which is this year. You can see that there's no tangible property tax at all. This is general tax. It's not the only type of tangible property tax that we'll get is a little bit of utility tax right now. And more than likely in the next 10 years, that'll be gone too. The reimbursement is to pay for us, to keep us whole at that amount. It really doesn't. It won't once we get to that point. In 2017, that reimbursement's totally gone. It equates to 13.7 mils for this district of local taxpayer to equal what we needed, what that brought in to this district.
What it brought in 2004.
And what, yes, in 2004.
So that green line in 2004 represents 13.7 mils that eventually is lost to this community. It became the cat tax, but cat tax is not a local tax, as tangible property was.
And cat tax is also not keeping up with the reimbursement that is needed for what's out there right now, nor will it keep up with at the rate that it's set at in the future. So they set it too low at the state when they put it in, so it was too low at that point. So tangible is where this district was able to make increases as it needed, and with the growth of the students, that extremely helped out compared to other districts. The next line item that we have is our unrestricted grants and aids, and that's our state foundation. And this is important in that state foundation funding has changed in the last 2 years. Last year and now this year. This gives you a little idea on how difficult it is for us to really know our population and how much we're really going to get from the state. It's a guess. The pass flow as of 4/24/10, and all the teachers that are sitting here know that that first week of October is important. We want our kids here every day of the week. That's the first that they said that's when last year, because they were having such a hard time getting the number of students, that was our final deadline. So that was our last numbers that we thought that we had, and those were our students that we had. Our regular education, then the six categories for special needs, and then JBS and other are regular education students. So as of our EMIS data on 4/24/2010, we had 5,334 students. The final information that they gave us, our final payment for 2010, they said we had 5,369 students, 34 different. Not sure where those 34 students were. Then this year, we are supposed to be paid at whatever we're receiving from last year, our student population. So as of our past numbers on October, our first payment in October, That number is now different, too. We did not grow by 2% in student enrollment this past year. So we should be at the same number as we had last year. So right now we're being funded at that 5,407 students.
So we have to pay money back?
They will probably be taking that money away from us come February, March, April, May.
Oh, just when our second payment, when the second round?
Well, no, they don't count anymore. You only have one count week now. But whenever they decide or they figured out, oh, yeah, we sort of made a mistake, it'll come out. So that's why some days you wonder if you've got the right numbers and some days you don't. So there's really no easy way to count our students. I talked with the statistician at ODE 2 weeks ago, and he still hasn't been able to get me a number or a reason why this change has happened. And so we're looking at it as saying, we aren't sure. But we know that we have to deal with what we're getting for in our state foundation.
I think what was really interesting about that chart, just off totally off the tangent, was the number of Cat 5 and Cat 6 students we had in this district.
Yeah, those are your high-need kids.
Right, exactly.
That equates to $15 million, basically. We're looking at $14,338,000. So if we take differences off that, it's going to be a big change there. And, yeah, and our Cat 5 and our Cat 6 numbers are very high, and they bring in more students. So we want to make sure that we are as close as possible to those numbers as what they are. Now, it looks to me like they're using some of the same numbers in the past flow as of 424, because if you look at the Cat 5 from number 1 to number 3, they're the same. So, you know, they're close. Yeah, they're the same. Cat 5 is. Cat 6, they're not. You know, so it just sort of depends. So I'm not sure where they came from. He did say that even though this might be one of the things but he didn't know at the time, is that the number of community students are based on the day that they're in there. So if they come in one day and they go out another day, that fluctuates. So that could be a reason why we're fluctuating. It could be community students. But right now we can't tell. And that's very difficult for us to tell. I've worked very close with Jacqueline, our English coordinator, trying to figure all this out, and she's as baffled by it as I am. And I've been working on EMIS ever since they started it back in 90. So,
again, not to go off on another tangent, why is it Cat 4, that column seems oddly low to me. You know what I mean? It just seems like it's like you either pushed them one way or the other.
It's the type of student. Type of
student. Yeah, I know, yeah. But I mean,
it's probably the rare handicap.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Thank you.
And I can look it up and tell you.
Yeah, so I don't know what Cat 4 is.
So the higher the Cat number isn't necessarily the more needy.
I can tell you that the Cat 6 are our autistic students. Okay. And so they're the highest need.
Okay.
Cat 4, I believe, are developmentally disabled students, maybe a TBI. So you wouldn't have as many of those type of students in that category. TBI, traumatic brain injury.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's what that is.
But yeah.
Because you wouldn't have very many of those kids.
So right. It's very specific. It just seems that's very specific.
Yes. Right. Those are very specific types.
Eight?
I just found that chart. I mean, you see, you know, this district spends a lot of money on educating special ed kids, and I thought that chart was rather interesting.
Generally speaking, the higher the category, the more weight.
Yes, right.
The higher the weight is, and you get more funding for the kids, because there's an assumption that as they go up the chart, there's additional staffing and needs for those kids that you have to provide.
Right.
So, and Cat 1 is your speech only.
Speech only. Yeah. It's Category 1,
and
which
then
would be out typically just for the therapist.
So, roughly, how much, like on a percentage basis, does the district receive based upon what the actual cost is for those kids?
I really couldn't.
It's like a 1.43 for some of them. Yeah. You know, like you get 43% more of whatever your funding is, and we're at what, 43%?
Yes.
43% of 5,700, mm-hmm. and then you get 43% of that, yeah. whatever that is. So we're getting probably $3,000 per kid, state aid, typically. Mm-hmm. And then it'd be 43% of times that 3,000. I'm just using rough numbers, but right. typically that would be about it.
But that's
and that's
the,
what you.
That's
you
know, the that, revenue, right? That's the revenue.
That's revenue. So.
Yeah.
It's not the cost.
And so you're getting about maybe you're getting $4,500 for your most needy handicapped student, and some of those Cat 5 and Cat 6 kids, we will be spending $50,000 to $60,000 on those kids.
Is there any federal aid that comes in for that?
Some, not much.
How much?
We get special needs federal aid, but then that's to pay for staff.
Yeah,
and that's
right. You
have
a couple teachers
staff.
Funded out
yeah.
of that
right.
funding.
Yeah,
but you know, it doesn't cover the cost. Of,
no.
Yeah. But as far as
of special
how much
education.
We spend more than what we actually get, I can't give you a number I can look at.
You know, remember, you know, we have close to 900 kids. Ish,
yeah.
You know, in this, and that are handicapped, they have some kind of. So again, it never is fully funded, mm-hmm. ever.
It's never been.
Sure.
All right.
Sorry.
No, it's good.
I mean, it was just a real interesting. You know, when you lay it out that way, I just thought it was funny. Sorry.
It's okay.
We enjoyed.
The next
line
item that's there is our restricted grants and aid, and that's our. Going back to our five-year forecast, those are the stimulus dollars. This year we're getting over $1 million in stimulus aid, state foundation aid, our career technical, those are programs at the junior high and middle or high school for the vocational programs, your family communities, consumer science, your vocational programs, your vocational ag. And then next year we have the jobs money going in there, the $792,000, that's the jobs dollars that will be going in there. We had to apply for it, put in our application, and we're just going to let it set for a year, and then we'll spend it next year.
Have we found out yet what the restrictions or rules are?
There are no rules. There are no restrictions.
You have to spend it on staff.
You have
staff.
To spend it on yeah. staff. Teaching staff.
And you have to spend it by next year, right?
Yes, next year. But you can't use it for a superintendent, you can't use it for treasury, you can't use it for anybody within the district office. It has to be staffing that goes directly for staff and fringes that work with students.
When you say it has to be used by next year, you mean the end of the current fiscal year or the next fiscal year?
Fiscal year 12, end of fiscal year 12.
Next school year.
Yeah.
It does help.
And on the unrestricted grants for next year, you'll see that I've taken out the stimulus dollars, the full amount in fiscal year 12, and the 1.086 million, and then another 300,000 the following year. That's about 7% of our the amount coming out for foundation until the governor's race is settled, and until we see a budget come March. This is as good a guess as I'm going to make.
You're not changing with the polls?
No.
I'm just going to leave it alone
and let them tell me come.
We
March
know you
April.
Get the budget sooner if Strickland is
yeah, exactly.
Hold on. He only has 30 days.
That's yeah. correct. You'd have it in February instead of March.
Could have hanging chads.
We could have hanging chads.
Exactly.
And all the attorneys will come.
So the other area that we have is our property tax allocation. This is our homestead rollback. It used to be, you know, some. I think I just lost it.
Right there. That's where we were.
Okay. But this is the big thing. This is our tangible personal property tax reimbursement. We get part of it through our foundation payments, and then we get the rest of it as direct payments, and the $8.9 million is what we'll be receiving as our total, and then we get $7.3 million through direct reimbursement, and then the actual amount, the rest of that 8.9 or 1.6 comes through. It's included in our foundation portion, because if they didn't take out what we were receiving prior to, they would have given us too much. So that's, they do a before and after TPP, so that's where they get the 1.549 or almost 1.6 million that comes through in that. Remember that this hold harmless, it starts dropping off quickly, and you'll see it there in fiscal year 13, 14, 15. By fiscal year 18, it's gone. So as this drops off, even next year in fiscal year 12 and the following 2 years, that's an area, if something would happen to hold us harmless more for the overall and bring us back up to where we are now in the hold harmless payment to give us the full amount that was taken away from our taxpayers, it would make our forecast look a lot differently than what it does right now.
And again, we're working hard with a whole, with a group of other school districts to get that accomplished. You know, again, I don't know. The state of Ohio will say that they can't afford to pay communities back. Communities need to just say, state of Ohio, you took this away. You need to hold us harmless, as you said you were going to hold us harmless. You know, I'll send out to you tomorrow something I received from the County Commissioners Association, which, you know, this is not just a school district issue. This is all the entities that, you know, your 911, your counties, your mental health, your health department, all, everybody else that collects a tax are also held, you know, they're a piece of this in here. And we've determined that it's almost close to 20 mills for this community that will have to come back in if you want the same money flow as what you have now. And the local folks are going to be responsible for that.
Now, have they actually introduced any legislation
There is a bill that's there laying, but they haven't done anything officially with it. We met with a group a couple weeks ago in Columbus. Dave Burke was actually part of that discussion. Dave understands what it does to the Marysville community.
Now, does he anticipate time. They'll do anything by
there's a lot of discussions. I don't know what, you know, with election being what the elections are, nobody's saying anything. But
well,
there's
it's
a lot going
to
on
get
in the background.
To get moving, and I don't know that they're going to be in session much at all.
Yeah.
Plus, it's going to be a re-education process, I'm sure, once, you know, new House members come in and new Senate members come in for the state who weren't there before for that.
Yeah, I don't know there's a whole
lot new. I don't know.
I know of a couple, but I don't know how many are at term limits. I'm not going to be.
Well, some may not get ready.
The information I received from the county commissioners,
true.
It really has the impact for counties, townships, and so on. If you take a look at, you know, our townships, especially Allen and Liberty, it's huge. It's a lot of money that they lose in their tax base once tangible is gone. You know, I'm not sure how this, especially Allen, can operate. The fire station and everything like that. So, and they're very concerned, as we are. Because it's, you know, again, it's a big deal to our community. It's one of these things that our lives changed in 2005 drastically. This community took, you know, when House Bill 66 passed, we lost a lot of tax base. I mean, 33% of our tax base went away, no longer taxable. So that means everybody left has to pick up what that 33% once was paying. I mean, if you want to look at it simply, that's what it means. So, as you see it going down, in order for those dollars to stay up, there's going to have to be more millage passed.
And at the same rate, later on, we have, a huge increase in the families with the free and reduced lunches.
Correct.
That's exactly. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
25%?
Well, and that the day after I got that information, we found out...
It's changed a little bit.
It's changed. It's dropped down to about 20. Still 20% is...
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's our biggest percentage ever.
20.57 is what it is. They had found some information that there was some that were counted twice. So it's 20.57. So yes, our free and reduced, our free number of free lunches is... up quite a bit, and that means because of House Bill 1, anybody that's on a free lunch is automatically given free fees. So if they're free fees, you know, I've got in there to take $50,000 and pay that to the uniform school supply account if that's what's necessary. I'm only going to go as far as we absolutely need, but at least I've got $50,000 in there as a placeholder. For that amount.
What's the free fees?
If
you qualify for free and reduced lunch, yeah. Then your fees are automatically
your fees
paid for.
Covered by the district.
Covered school by the district.
Fees. School fees.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Not extracurricular fees.
Yeah.
But all the fees that
consumables
that typically you'd be responsible for. The state of Ohio says if you're free and reduced, then the district has to pick them up. Hmm. It's an unfunded mandate.
It's huge. Technical schools.
I wonder if they know that.
Right. Exactly. They have huge fees. Oh, well, yeah. People know that.
Do they?
No, yeah. Absolutely.
That's why they're crying.
And we've made them aware, too.
Oh, no.
I think there's a... because Joanne even talked about it when she was in here.
They make them aware. But they're aware.
I'm trying to get that word out.
And that's okay. The bigger... And again, I'm not opposed to it. My issue is... that it was passed by the state, and they made us, the taxpayers of Marysville.
It's a great idea at the state level, right?
It was great.
There you go, boys.
Made them responsible.
So here's the revenue as the different percentages. General revenue, general property tax is 40%. And you've got 4% intangible. So that's all that's left there. That 4% is just our utilities. And then our unrestricted is 30%, restricted is 3%.
Tangible used to be 40%?
Yep.
Wow.
And property allocation now is 20, and it probably used to be maybe 5. And then you got other. And then we also receive the note every year for the House Bill 264 that we do that to pay those. So that's our revenue. Now expenditures, I really don't do any charts or any good little graphs like that, but if we look at where we are on our purchase services for analytical, we've got 2% step increase is about what our steps are when I figured them this past year.
But just so we're clear, that covers classified, certified, that's everyone, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Everyone in a general fund.
Yeah.
Right, that's what I mean, Amanda. Yeah, saying that fund. As an average, that's yeah. Everyone.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought I did it and I got 3%, but maybe that's why I didn't include them.
There, in next year, we're adding the staff members that are back in, that are ARRA, Title 6B. Those are the stimulus dollars that go away that are grants. So we'll have to add those back in, so we're adding those in. No increases in staff for the forecast, and we put in zero increase in raises the last 3 years of the forecast. If you look at that, that's why you see this, just a 2-2-2 right here on that sheet. A little bit more, 3.34, but overall it's right there, right at a 2% for the next 5 years.
I have a question.
Yeah.
On the section of that where you have the monthly cash flow comparison analysis,
uh-huh.
Why are the numbers so different in July and January?
Because July ended up being a three-pay month this year compared to a year ago.
We pay 26 pays. So
this
occasionally
you'll have
a calendar
creep sometime in some months, you'll have three.
Yeah. So sometimes you see the three in that same way there in January. Well, December is the three pay, and then January we'll be paying out the severances. So that's why. Why in actual 2010 it was that low, I couldn't tell you. Unless some of it was paid from another grant or something, I couldn't tell you that without looking at it, Tracy.
I didn't know if maybe, I know when the retirement buyouts, I knew there was some period of time.
Yeah, but that's usually an additional add-on to it instead of a decrease. So since that wasn't my time period, I can't give you a good answer on that one. I can look at it. And
I just was curious because they were so different.
But yeah, that's why it's over 3 million. It was over 3 million in July because of the fact that it was a 3 million. So that's purchase services, our benefits. We're trying to keep our insurances right at an 8% increase over each year. See what happens. This year we've had a little extra increase. We've had more staff taking more on the family policies instead of single. And then there's also the SERS surcharge. We had to catch everybody up this year because of the way that we paid it out through our foundation. So that's that increase there. And you'll see on this graph here, in 2009 there was a big decrease. No increase basically in 2010. That's with our insurances. We changed the policies in 2009, 2010, and that made the big difference there. So to keep insurance policies, insurance rates down, that made a big difference. We had a 9.92% increase back in 2007, and more than likely insurance is a huge increase there.
When is that coming up for the board approval again?
Hopefully either next month or December, probably.
Is the insurance committee working on that now?
Yes, we are. Yeah. The other thing in this one is that because of the hard work by Mike and Lynette and everybody on the workers' comp, our rates have dropped considerably over the last 5 years, and our rates are even lower this year than what they were last year, so that's a good thing. And knowing how hard that is to keep down, it's a big item, and it's a lot of work. The purchase services, the big things here are our utilities, our mileage, data processing, tuition paid to other districts. We have no control over that. If we have students that are taken away from and put into foster homes in other districts or are incarcerated or anything like that, we'll end up paying for those. So we have no idea what's going to happen or what's going to hit about that. So the best that we can do is give a 4% increase. This year I've increased for maintenance and repairs. Some of the things that we've done there, tuition reimbursement and community schools are up, and then we've had some increases in our internet programs so that we can be a little bit more cost effective otherwise. Following year, we're deducting those down to another back to where it was, basically not quite the year before, but taking away those repairs, saying, hey folks, we're going to have to only do the basic items that we're going to have to see, and then see how our permanent improvement is handling everything. The big thing that we were concerned about with that is making sure that we had money to pay our bonds. So that's why the permanent improvement, we took that out for a year to just make sure that things are going in the right direction with that. Then on our supplies and materials, there's not a whole lot in there. I mean, you've got transportation, fuel, maintenance supplies, technology supplies, repairs. There's not a lot of things in there that you can get away with and not keep it where we're at.
Since the last time you gave us a five-year forecast, like 300,000 or something like that?
Yeah, because we hadn't set everything into that last time.
That's okay.
And a lot of that is right there within those areas. That's the increase. And now that goes to back to where we are with our appropriations that were approved last month.
Right. I guess I'm just remembering during the Finance Committee meeting, you making a comment about how you told the staff they didn't spend it, that you're going to go ahead and set it to last.
We set it, yeah. We gave them a 3% increase.
Okay. And then it looks like it went up another $300,000 since then?
That's what those items there are. The increases are.
The only reason I ask this is because in years past I've seen a big blip there, and I argued about it and argued
well,
about
I'll
it.
I'll tell you what.
It was good, and then yeah. It never came to realization.
Exactly.
And you reset it back down, and so now I see a blip again, and it raises concern.
Well, and the blip is because of encumbrances. We encumber money to cover supplies and maintenance repairs, and if we don't have them, the note there says right now there's 41% encumbered of our supplies that are sitting out there. We've only spent 18% of it. I'm still trying to fine tune this whole area, Doug, on these supplies and materials. And that I increased it when we looked at our supplies and everything as far as those items there were the big items. There was a few other ones that were maybe another 10 or 20,000, but what we spent the previous year, the 3%, and those, and that gets us to where we are in the appropriations. And I agree. Most of the time, you never spend what you've got out there in supplies. But that's an area that we just have to keep looking at constantly to make sure. And to be honest, right now it's all transportation fuel. I mean, we really over-encumbered there in transportation and over-appropriated right now. But if we go up $3 or $4 a gallon, like we did at the end of 2 or 3 years ago, it'll take that.
So if there's leftover, how does that roll over on
that
this forecast?
That leftover goes out of there and it goes right back into the general fund total cash balance, unencumbered.
So when you look at that, then let's say you had $1 million budgeted, but you only spent $900,000. By looking at that historically, you couldn't see that you didn't spend $100,000.
No, not historically, not in this analysis. You have to have the analysis that I've got for you in that appropriation measure.
Okay, that's what I'm at. So maybe that I guess I'm not sure if that speaks to what Doug is asking or not. I mean,
right.
There's no way of knowing by looking at that, whether they spent it all or not. It just looks like it was
right.
Budgeted for
that. I mean, the only thing that's different here than I've seen in the past is this time, in the past, what concerned me is it blipped up, and then next year was based on previous year. It looks like you pulled the 281 out right here, so it actually comes back down.
Right.
So it's not as big a concern, because the last time it propagated all the way through the five-year forecast, and that was concerning.
Yes. And that's what I've done, because I'm like, there's no way that we can keep going at this rate. We've got to look at it, and that's what we're starting to do and say, where are we going from here? We've got to take something out.
Well, I think historically, though, I mean, that's kind of where, I mean, you've been running along that line anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, you've got a blip there, but only because it's appropriated. It's not money spent.
Right, exactly. And that's where we're at. We're trying to make sure, and that's one area that the buildings will change their from having it into supplies, they're moving it into meeting expenses now, and so by doing that it makes it very difficult at times to look at it.
And I completely understand that, and I understand the blip, especially when you look back. I guess
right.
The problem is when that blip was kind of just kept carrying forward.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Start playing percentages off
that.
Yeah. That's one of those areas that you really, it's hard to say.
You know, as we look at this, though, I mean, from you know, when we look at the day-to-day operation, we're looking at kind of where our operational is. We're looking backwards and holding what our costs are and running less miles and those kinds of things. What I can't determine is what the gas or fuel prices are going to be next week and what we project them to be. We know what DP&L rates are projected to be, for instance, for electrical service. We just hope that we can be within that, because that's kind of where we are in our regulations and in our monitoring of it. But what this allows us to do is actually, you know, if we we have that blip, or we have that cold weather, or we have that something, at least it's appropriate.
Right.
At least it's there in that particular account. If it's not spent, and trust me, we won't spend it if we don't have
and don't project future years.
We don't.
Based on
we don't want to project it out.
Yeah.
And I get what you said, and again, that's a conversation that Dee and I had, and then Sydney and I had also about making sure that it's not projected on out.
Right.
Right. And so that's why we've taken that back out next year. Just say, hey, we got to look at it, keep it down, just make sure that we're right back to
work. Can I ask you a question? Do we, as a school, contract ahead, like for a year, knowing numbers, approximate numbers of gallons of fuel that we use, or the buses, maintenance trucks, for all the fuel usage? Do we contract?
You won't find any. There's no contract for a set price.
I wanted to know if they, will contract ahead. I mean, I know we can for our farm supply fuel if we want to lock in a price. That's what I was wondering if the.
We have never done that. I mean, we've been pretty fortunate in not doing that, actually. I mean, historically, we're running very well. Actually running fewer miles and running less on our expenses on transportation over the last several years because of it. I work real comfortable with doing that. But contracting out is, some school districts that did that and got caught holding the bag, especially with natural gas and everything else, that are paying dearly, actually in Central Ohio, that are paying dearly for the price, especially with natural gas in that area, because it went down big time compared to where everybody thought it was going to be, and they bought futures, and then it didn't work out for them.
Worked out for the gas company.
It worked out big time for the gas company.
So then on the capital outlay on our equipment, the only thing that's in there is the site improvement information so that we can do any type of site improvements, and then all equipment has been taken out. So whatever equipment that we purchase is done through permanent improvement.
Cool.
So though that takes care of the capital improvement, then we've got our debt that we have to pay for. And then the other thing that is a big item are our other objects. And those are our costs that we pay to the county and to the state for collecting our tax monies, mainly auditor and treasurer's fees, delinquent land taxes, and our liability insurances are paid out of there. We put in a 3% increase over last year. Some years it goes up, some years it goes down. It just depends. So when you look at the final on...
Do we get to negotiate that?
No.
No.
Sure do.
Thought I'd ask.
Sucks, huh? And we
it's
have
3%.
To pay... Yeah,
it's
3%.
That's what the law says.
And then we also have to now pay for the tangible personal property tax for them to collect that. We now have to pay to have that done for us, too. So.
You did the rollback also.
Yeah, the rollback, yeah. So now our salaries are at 61% of our expenditures. Our fringes are at 23%. We're right there at that 84% of expenditures for salary and fringes. And so once you get over 80, you know that things are going to start getting tight on everything else. And conclusions are we're at that point that we really need to start looking at everything. We've got two levies coming up in fiscal year 14. Another one needs to be renewed in 15. The uncertainty of the state funding has me very worried. And what's going to happen with tangible property tax, the hold harmless? if something doesn't happen there, that's 13.7 mils that we need to start really thinking about and what needs to be done. So with that, we've got to control our costs and then start looking at other ways. And you know, one thing that we used to be able to get out of to get money into the district is in interest. Our interest rate's at 0.5. I can remember when I was getting 8.9 or 12 on CDs. You know, it's enough to make you almost cry when you're looking at all that. As far as
you can get that out of a passbook savings account, can't you?
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's a lot different for governmental entities. We don't get the interest rates like you can even on as a person to get that. You can't invest in the stock market. So there's things that we just, there's no way of bringing in any other revenue. I mean, it used to be, we used to get $300,000 to $500,000 in interest income here. We just don't have it. If I get $50,000 this year, I'll be doing good. Unfortunately.
Mr. Press.
Yes, sir.
My name is Dave Hutchins. I'm a farmer.
Yes, sir.
I see problems which is not the school board's fault at all. It's going to present itself. If this recession continues, we're getting more and more foreclosures. That means the price of these houses are going to go down. Therefore, as the valuation goes down, and you guys are smarter than I am about this, you can only raise money on your valuation as to your millage. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So I think you see where I'm driving at. We don't know what the future is. Like I said, you don't know about the election and what's going to happen from this and everything else. This really concerns me. I was against the cat tax as a farmer because it's on gross income, not on net income. But what the corporation's done, and why you're not getting the money on the cat tax is, if you sell something out of state, you cannot force a treasurer from another state to return that money to the state of Ohio. If I'm a cattle feeder, I raise cattle, sell stuff. If I would sell $3 million worth of cattle to Solerton, Pennsylvania, JBS plant, I do not pay cat tax. And it doesn't take an Einstein to see that all the business here in a Marysville school district could be having a check sent out of state. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And then something else that's very important, and this is me talking, because I talk to a lot of people around the country. It doesn't matter who I am or what. I'm on a lot of boards and stuff. One of the worst things hurting this country right now is an investigation in Washington going on. They don't legally know what they can do is the South American drug cartel. I don't need to tell you that there's problems in Marysville. It's not your school rulers' fault, school, it's society. The amount of dollars our police and the sheriffs and time you spend on it and everyone else is going to get bigger and bigger. But what I'm saying is, if I spend $50,000 on a new tractor, say, probably be a lot more than that, say $50,000. If Paris gets it or somebody, they pay tax on that. The farmer's dollar goes around more than anyone else seven times. So seven different people pays income tax. If I go out, and I don't, but if I went out and blew $50,000 on drugs, there's no taxes. That's took out of the economy of the Marysville district. And guess what? It's not only took the money supply out of the district, but it's took it out of the country to South America. I don't know how many of you people sitting there realize what I just said, how important it is for the recession in this country. The Justice Department is looking at it. I can't tell you my sources, but it's a huge deal. There's so many things that you are sitting here making decisions on that's out of your hands. And if you keep increasing taxes, and the Marysville public, since I've been here, has been, I think, very kind. Sometimes they don't pass it right away. Mr. Zimmerman, you can agree with me that they come around and the people of this community support this school district. But they got to take care of their families first. Now, as a farmer, I can say that yields has been good for a lot of farmers, prices are good. That really doesn't help the school district because it's on property tax and not on income tax. Mm-hmm. We don't have an income tax. We don't have a sales tax. I mean, there should be different formulas coming from the state to help out school boards on what you're trying to do. Larry, I know you've looked in this and worked with different people, but the citizenry of this state has got, and maybe local school boards, got to form some type of taxpayers' citizen group to go to the state level, the Senate, the Congress, and say, listen, there's businessmen out there. We understand a little bit of something. We may not be as smart, but we need to work to get something done here, because you can't keep raising the millage. You can't. You just can't do it. Yeah, now, I'll shut up at that. But
yeah, and that's a good point, because I read there's a study that came out of the Cleveland area, actually, not too long ago, that has what else can be done to generate dollars instead of property tax. You know, how can you, if we continue to go the way we're going, you know, folks, there's not going to be enough property tax, especially if values aren't settled out. And in we're actually fortunate in our community. They've declined, mm-hmm. but they've held. There are other communities where the bottom completely fell out. Our biggest problem is we lost 33% of everything that was taxable out there. So, I mean, that's a big deal. I think Marysville should be screaming and jumping. Because it, you know, again, I take my superintendent hat off and I look at it as a taxpayer. I'm going to have to make that up somehow or another. Yeah?
And not just at the schools either. There's a lot of places.
I'm going to make that across the community. It should be 20 mils for, you know, throughout the community if we want to sustain what it is we have. But in this report, there's a way, they looked at a lot of ways for Ohio to generate different tax besides property and income. And so,
is this the Buckeye Institute report? Because I read the Buckeye Institute.
Yeah, I don't know which one it is called. I'll grab it and send it out to you. But it has to do with ratcheting up the CAT tax. It takes a look at differing taxes that make some sense. It closes some loopholes in some taxes, corporate-wise, and so on. So, but it generates enough dollars that would sustain for a little bit what it is we do until this recession is kind of works its way out. But there is some, I think there are some folks that are considering that. But your point is well taken. I mean, it's not a lot of fun. I've been, you know, I've had far too many levies. And I don't want, and that's what's staring at us.
I mean, I can't afford just sitting here with you just pretend, but I get the general overall idea, and I can give a synopsis of how I feel as a taxpayer. But the average taxpayer, I'm not saying that they don't understand, but they don't take time to try to figure out. I'm not trying to put anybody down, please understand. Our taxes and our systems and whatever goes into it, and you say, well, this might happen. There's no easy solution to funding the schools.
Correct.
And I think I probably understand better than the average person, but I don't mean that. What I'm saying is, all I say is, here comes everyone. He in the school, Marysville school board again, 8-point mills. That's all I do. Boo, 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 boo. But you got to support your schools.
Yeah, it is your value. I mean, it is. If I have anything, you have value in it. It's school.
Thank you.
You play defense a lot of times. That's the problem with the state. I mean, at this point, I mean, your tangible personal property goes away. It's not our fault, but it went away.
The problem we have, you know, we're messing with, I mean, this is a very tight budget. It's been tight. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we're going to end up with, what, 2 days, 3 days of true cash?
Yeah. The end of next fiscal year?
In the fiscal year.
Yeah. Next fiscal year.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're running a household or a business or whatever, and what you have done at the end of paying your bills is 3 days of living, it's not really a good way to be. And that's one of the biggest criticisms that we've had ever here, is that we really haven't had a lot of true days cash out there. I mean, we've kind of lived on the edge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you take a look at our millage rate versus everybody else's, and our values and those kind of things. I mean, we were very fortunate for a lot of years to see some growth in the tangible, but that is gone. So we're going to have to figure it out.
All right. What else did you have? Well, thank you.
Oh, thank you
for your input.
No,
think that'll do me for tonight.
You sure? You want to cover anything else?
I don't think so, unless there's other questions that somebody might have had on any of the checks or anything like that.
Anybody have any questions on A, B, or C?
No.
If not, then I move we accept the items A, B, and C submitted by the treasurer.
What does that mean, to accept them by the treasurer? I mean, does it mean, I mean, what are we really voting on right here? Just accepting the reports?
Yeah.
Okay. I just never understood. I mean, I voted.
That they're valid. You look at them, you said, yeah.
Sweet. Okay. I might not like them, but.
Well, that's you know. What I was getting at. We're not.
You don't have to like it, but you have
it's
to.
It's not saying you know.
Agree with it?
That you worked all the calculations. Well, although you may have. I don't know. Okay, did somebody second that?
Second.
Yeah. Move and second. I'll
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And that also means we can send the 5-year forecast to the state.
Yeah, that's the critical.
That's probably
the critical
biggest one
piece that's due
you tell
by
me that
the end.
After I vote yes.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I thought so.
I knew that. All right. Mr. Zimmerman.
Item 8, impracticality of school transportation. You have a whole host of them, A through H.
Yeah. Nobody wants to ride the bus.
Or Steve when you need
it. Yeah, exactly. My recommendation that they be approved.
Did I read there was a deadline for those? October 30th? Is
yes,
that right?
There yes, is October a deadline. October 30th.
So that's the reason you have it right.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You get a motion to accept those, please?
So.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 9, revised classified handbook, our employee handbook request. I request the approval of the updated classified handbook to be approved.
I have one question. What exactly is, where is it at? Where is it at? It's unapproved. It had to do, what is an unauthorized use of sick leave? What is that?
Well, by state law, there are certain items that are allowable to be used in sick leave. So it's defined in state law.
Oh, okay.
So if it's unauthorized, it's not one of those that are authorized.
Here's the only question.
No, but they are spelled out in state law.
Okay, that's right. Okay,
here's the only question I have. This is what was on the front of mine. And I'm reading this, and I'm going, that is not a student activity handbook.
Oh.
What?
That's interesting.
What? No, that was the extra that I just gave you.
She just gave that to us.
That's just for you to read. That's for your reading enjoyment for now.
No. This is all the stuff about the board and everything else. I'm wondering.
You got the employee handbook?
We got it in the email.
Yeah. So what is that, though?
This is student activity.
There's no way that's student activity. I mean, look through that.
No. That's just the student activity funds are the operational portion of the funding and things of like student council and those kinds of things. These are all the.
These are the laws that they have to go by.
Yeah, that's not. Non-school organizations. I mean, private travel.
Yes, we are. But
general information on purchasing.
Yeah. Absolutely, they better know
this. Yeah, this is for the advisors. That's for the advisors.
That's just a draft. That's just a draft copy.
It just when you classify it as a student activity handbook, I'm thinking
student activity funds.
That's
are the funds that operate the extracurriculars.
Good job.
So, if you have student council that's doing a fundraiser, they have to follow these rules. For instance, that's
rules. It's a rule book.
I'm trying to drag it out. How am I doing?
Hey, you're doing good.
Fantastic. The state auditor pays a lot of attention to those.
I haven't. Yes.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, no, you're good. I'm glad you asked.
All right, so did anybody have any other questions about the classified handbook?
I never heard the answer to your question.
Oh.
I never even heard
the
question.
Oh, it was classic.
He wanted to know what unauthorized...
I heard the question, but I didn't hear the answer.
Unauthorized sick leave is... It's not authorized.
Sick leave is not authorized.
Okay.
In law, Ohio law, there are reasons to use sick leave.
I see.
Spelled out. If they're They're not in that. It's unauthorized.
Who polices that?
I know, yeah.
Supervisors.
How would one know?
Yeah, that's, well, that would be my next question.
Vacation's not unauthorized.
B6.
Right.
That's not sick leave. That's not sick.
Well, the only reason I asked that is because some other districts, I've heard stories of that, that all of a sudden their sick days go up, like right around springtime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happens.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
all the time.
Just about that time.
Allergies. Well,
yeah. What do you think? Allergy season? Is that what you said?
No. Yeah, we run it down.
Yeah. All right. Baseball. All right. So, and he also said they are laid out specifically in state law.
They are.
That was the other half.
The authorization.
So,
the
what's authorized or what's
so
approved?
The context of that is unauthorized sick leave is not.
So, if they have a personal illness or an illness of a child, and then it spells out even grandparent, yada yada yada.
Okay.
It does spell it out.
All right. Was there any other questions by chance?
I just wanted to hear the answer to the question.
Okay. I was happy to repeat it.
Yeah. All right, then. I move we accept the revised classified employee handbook.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Freudberg.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 10 is resolution to purchase 2 new school buses. At one time we were trying to get 4 in a year, and now we're just the budget. We have 2 that we're recommending that we purchase. We stepped through the steps with MEC, their bidding process. We're recommending that we buy 2 Bluebird buses. One is a 72 passenger, and one's an 84 passenger.
Which one? What are the sizes that they're replacing?
72.
Wasn't the last ones we tried to get an 84, but we couldn't. We ran getting.
They changed. Like, they didn't have them on a lot anymore, or something.
Correct. They had a smaller one. We've got 272s last time. We were trying to get something in between. I don't think it was an 84.
Yeah.
We were trying to get one that was.
But I just remember that they had sold the one we were looking at.
Correct.
Which one does this come out?
Bus dealers.
This is
PI and partially because in the audit they have requested that we spend all the money that is in there, the special money that had been given to the districts over the year. It's just sitting there, so we're going to use that money.
For bus reimbursement.
So I'll have to fix the
most
the
of it's coming out
appropriations and also whatever's in there in that cash.
Now, is this part of our larger bus purchase plan? I mean, do we have one in place as of yet?
Capital plan?
No, for actual the actual performance audit asked us to put in place a purchase plan for long-term because previously we just didn't have the funds to buy buses. And so and I was just curious if this was part of that.
It's part of this.
Of that.
Correct.
That
what we're trying
plan.
To do is buy 2 a year. That's what we're trying to do right at the moment.
Yes.
Two won't do it over time. If you replace 2 at a time, you're going to run out of time.
And how big is
and
the
buses?
Fleet?
We're running 35, 36 buses ish.
And will Maryland get one of these new buses?
No, absolutely.
People are trying to run her down now.
Last year, and I said, no, thank you. I'll stick with the Stubnose. I do not like the conventional nose extension. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Makes me feel bad.
Yeah.
Where's that? 2 buses get rotated out.
Yes.
We traded. We traded them in on these.
Let's get some flames painted on
the mountain.
It was wonderful.
All right, anybody have any questions on that? Do I need a motion to approve that, please?
Second.
Moving second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Freudberg.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Okay, motion carried.
Item 11, staff resignations. You have 4 resignations there. That I would recommend be approved.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Freundy.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
And one of those was a low incidence coordinator, which we'll replace back next year. But right now we didn't want to replace that special education administrator right now. mid-year, we didn't feel as though we'd get the candidate pool. So we've subdivided the duties of that administratively, so it will make it work. It's going to be rough, but we're going to make it work. 12, supplemental contract resignation is accept the supplemental contract resignation for Denise Kastner as for National Honor Society, and I would recommend that be approved.
Second. Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 13, leave of absences. You have three there for unpaid leave of absence. I think all those are extended maternity.
Mm-hmm. Adding some new students to the district, are
yeah.
Any motion to accept those, please?
So moved.
Second. Moving second. John, second. Tracy.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg?
Yes.
Mr. Fraker?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes. Okay, motion carries.
Item 14 is employment of district staff. I recommend that the following individuals be approved on one-year limited contracts. There are A through F there. As I mentioned, that one of them is a new special ed aide at Mill Valley due to increased population there of special ed. The rest are replacements except for the cashier at the high school, but that's just a movement of positions. Actually, it's reorganizing that. She's coming off of one position and going into a new position.
Did we terminate her old position?
She's just moving. She was not employed as a contracted person.
Oh. All right. And that's still pulled out of their budget anyways,
yep,
right?
Yep.
All right. So moved.
Second.
Moving second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
15 is employed student district staff, employment of the following student light and sound technicians on an as-needed basis for the rest of the year.
I didn't say employee. I mean, I guess
they're the kids that run the lights and sound for like in the auditoriums and stuff.
Okay. So it's not part of the program. We pay them to do that.
We pay them to do that. Well,
I didn't know that.
No, that's just funny the way you said that.
Well, but in fairness, part of it is club, part of it isn't. So if there's a huge event, then they get paid. If it's a smaller event, typically it's a club event. So we're not paying for all of it, but a lot of it we are. I mean, I don't know what we do without those kids, actually.
But a lot of times we rent it out, right?
We rent it out,
and the kids come and run the lights and stuff.
Correct, and then they're just getting reimbursed for whoever rents it out. That's the biggest need that we have, actually. Although we have a lot of district stuff, but.
Put a lot of faith in that 15-year-old. Make sure your lights and sound are done right.
I tell you what, they do a great job.
They do a fantastic job. They run that board like it's they've been running it forever.
It's a great learning opportunity.
It's just hilarious.
There's no dollar figures on it.
$10 an hour.
$10 an hour, and then as far as how it fits in our budget or appropriations
within the salary line items,
and so we counted for that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a lot of it is in and out because of the rental fees.
Right.
And
right.
Another one, I guess.
Must be another family.
God. So moved. Second. Moved in second. Roll call, boys.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 16, district substitutes, home instructors. Listed below are substitutes and home instructors recommended for employment for the 10-11 school year on an as-needed basis.
So moved.
Second.
Moved in second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Supplemental contracts outline below are specific recommendations related to employment of certificated and non-certificated individuals for the 2010-11 school year on an as-needed basis.
We don't need a head swimming coach, do we?
Oh, you want to cross her off?
Yeah, I mean, Nah, I think we'll let her go first.
Well, let's see how long she can hold her breath.
Cindy, do you have the supplementals in any form of a spreadsheet? Like, in the way how they have them separated out, like as to what's considered co-curriculars, the athletics are pretty obvious. But I don't know what some of the classifications, whether they're considered co-curriculars or whatever, just so we can see like what the totals.
I'm
assuming, are we getting close to?
We're getting real close.
The closer we get into the winter, we're probably going to get getting more spring stuff. Then.
We've got, there's several that are still not hired yet. So, mostly for the coaching positions.
Okay. So we can look forward to that?
To that spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Well, we're pretty close.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is where majority of pay-to-play fees go, right? Covered for this?
Correct.
I mean,
mm-hmm. That's correct. No, it doesn't. It won't cover it all.
No, I understand that. I mean, there's like $92,000 worth of supplementals here.
Did you add that up?
Oh, yeah, because I put it in a spreadsheet.
That's what I do. I cut and paste it in there and add it up.
Don't you do the spreadsheet.
It wouldn't go hard.
But that's not incorrect, though.
What's that?
I said that will be incorrect, though.
Oh, I already added that, actually.
You added $800 in there?
It was under $92. It just blipped it up over.
Oh, watch those blips. You gotta watch
that. I didn't use a spreadsheet. I did that in my head. Not using Chicago math.
All right, were there any other questions on that?
No, that's good.
Are we crossing the swimming coach or not?
No, I guess we'll keep her on there for this one.
I can't believe you guys said that.
We wouldn't say it if she wasn't sitting
here. I know, but I'm all into swimming.
Only if you get free lessons, right, Ron?
Yeah. What do you think about that? He
doesn't even know he's talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need a motion to accept those, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Gordon.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes. Motion carries.
District volunteers, item 18, this recommendation is to recognize the following volunteers for the 10-11 school year. We recognize, again, the volunteers so that they can be covered under our liability insurance.
Well, again, it speaks a lot for our district when you have three pages of volunteers.
Wow. Everybody volunteers? It'd be easier to have two dozen.
Maybe so.
I got a question. You have, like, a... Some volunteers are like assistant coaches, and I assume that's not full-time, part-time, or, I mean, I guess I'm trying to...
They're volunteers.
They volunteer. They volunteer. They volunteer. There was no position, so they volunteer to help.
Correct.
Got it.
Oh, Jen McSwords is everywhere.
Yes, he is.
Because I know there's some people that are coaches that aren't in staff, so I just was trying to figure out how that gets determined.
They get a supplemental. I mean, are you talking about supplemental coaches or just
no,
volunteers?
Volunteer.
Oh, yeah, volunteer coaches.
That's
yeah.
That's so they.
Well, he's on staff.
But he's also a volunteer?
Yes, he is.
Because he's volunteering for an organization and therefore making sure that he has liability.
He's outside of his regular duties.
Correct. And they, and once you, in CPR and all the kinds of things that go along with this, you know, we want to make sure that they honor all those requirements also. Well, I wouldn't want to put anybody as an assistant swimming coach or basketball or whatever without approving in here. I mean, it would be not wise for the board to do that.
Amen to that.
To have anybody out there doing that, because again, you're putting yourself at risk, liability wise.
That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. All right. There's no more questions. I need a motion to approve those.
So moved.
Second. Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Moody.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 19, student teachers. It is recommended that the following student teachers be approved for the 2010-11 school year. Again, we make you aware of these for a couple purposes, to let you know that we have them in here, but also to get them covered because they're working with our kids.
Where's the where's Jennifer Gengross from? What school? Bunsell, it says, but what school is she?
I don't know. I think she's from LSU Marion, actually. I don't know why that's not listed there. I'll find out. I'll let you know.
All right. I'm just curious.
I mean, we typically have either Ohio State or Banner or LSU Marion. Sometime I'll have them in.
You get an Ashland every now and again.
Yeah, they're all.
Sprinkle.
So moved.
Second. Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Mady.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 20, fundraisers. We have a couple fundraisers there for Creekview. I do recommend that they be approved.
So moved. Second. Moving second. Roll call, please.
Did you put
second? Second.
Me, too.
Got it. Yeah. Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Mady.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 21, donations to the district. I would recommend that we accept the following donations that are listed there.
With great appreciation.
So moved.
Second. Moved and second. Roll call.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Mady.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
I have one question.
The total goes.
Oh, too late.
It doesn't pertain. It does, but doesn't. So when is Allen St. Jean coming?
December 9th.
December
9th. December 9th. Mm-hmm.
December 9th.
Oh, did you
want to
go?
I just might.
He's what's phenomenal. Up? He is. And he just wrote an adult book.
He called my daughter a couple of weeks ago.
What did he call her?
What did he call her?
Called her on the telephone. Talked to her.
Really?
Yeah.
About?
She called and left him a message about something that is kind of a secret, so we can't say since we're recording this.
But what, really? You don't want to see it on the internet?
Well, it's a surprise for somebody else, so that's why I'm not.
Oh, all right. Well, you probably said too much.
Such an interesting voicemail she left him, he had to call back.
Excellent.
That's a good deal.
It is. Maybe he called you back.
Item 22, superintendent job description. I laid in front of you the revised.
Yes, I saw the capital D's in there, and I appreciate those.
That's
what great.
I typically got on my grade card.
Oh, what, on the...
Yeah.
On the, yeah.
Well, district was capitalized in some places.
You know, I understand. Just trying to be consistent. I understand.
Yes, ma'am.
And the edits are greatly appreciated.
They were right.
No question.
Keep them in line, Tracy.
And again, this what this job description does actually is it gets us in line with the model, superintendent model evaluation process that we're part of. This is
that's not the one I did.
Revised, so it meets the spirit of that project.
You'd ask a question about residency requirements.
Yes, I did. I don't know where. Certainly open for discussion, but I don't know if that were decided, where would the appropriate place for it be?
Probably qualification, I would think.
I mean, would it be in the?
Well, you could place it in the job description, absolutely, or you could place, you know, or not put it in there and put it in your posting.
I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure about putting that in there. I just on a personal basis. I mean, I think I know we did it when we hired the treasurer. It wasn't part of our requirements, but I'm pretty certain it was no mystery that, you know, it was very highly desirable that you're a member of our district. You know what I mean? I mean, if you make it a requirement, is it a requirement day one? Is it a requirement in a year? Are we going to pay for your? Are we required to pay for your relocation if we then make it a requirement in your job?
That would be a contractual.
Well,
kind of tying the hands of, you know, future boards. I mean, they may show that
I mean, I was just asking the question.
I'm just saying that they can still have that criteria of living here as part of the hiring process, but if you put it in the job description, you're kind of...
That's what I mean, and that's... Yeah. So well, I'm not...
Narrows it down up too much.
I mean, I can't imagine that you
would...
Would
they have the... Would someone in the future have the expectation that they wouldn't have to live here based upon that?
Well, that's really up to the board, though, right? I mean, the board may decide they find a candidate that's so overwhelmingly qualified that they'll put up with them living in Dublin. They may. I don't know. I wouldn't, but yeah. That's not up to me.
We will.
No, but I'm, you know what I mean. But it certainly would be up to the board. Like I would assume in previous conversations with candidates for those jobs that, you know, were you planning on moving to Marysville if you take that job? Yes or no? I mean, that's a reasonable question to ask, I think. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it should be part of that. I don't know what the rest of you feel. Well, I know what Doug feels because he just said it.
I can go.
I think you can easily not be in the job description and make it a qualification at the time of whenever you're posting it and interviewing it. Actually,
I didn't know what the whole HR aspect of that was.
I've seen it both ways, Tracy. To be very honest with you, I think there are two things to hear. I think you can go back. I went back 70 years just thinking about it. There hasn't been a superintendent that has not lived in this district in Marysville in that long a time. But the other thing is, I agree with you. I think it's important, especially in this community, that person live here. Mm-hmm. Again, I think it's important. I just because of the interaction and that happens. But,
right.
That's just me. But I would, I don't know. Personally, I wouldn't put it in the job description. I would make it part of the qualifications.
Okay.
But kind of in line with that, though, it's one thing I didn't notice in the job description. Nothing was ever, there's no mention in there about, and maybe it's not the superintendent's responsibility, but to, you know, reflect the values and the anything that community related. Nothing saying that the super, outside of communication, there was nothing in there that said the superintendent's, you know, job is to, you know, watch over the curriculum based on the
values.
Yeah, or the values. One, you know, what there's, and I guess, you know, I started thinking through that. I was like, well, where is that police? You know, where is that enforced? You know, I know the board has that responsibility to some degree,
right?
But you know, we rely on the superintendent to do that for the most part, because typically anything that's operational, we have very little view and control over. And so, like when you talk about curriculum, like another thing for me is, you know, and you look in other districts, and not necessarily in the state of Ohio, but you see it on the news all the time where there's, you know, communism being promoted within the school and anti-capitalist propaganda being in the school. Who polices that? You know, who's making sure that's not happening in our schools?
Me.
And that's what I'm saying is it's not written, and you know, we trust that, but, you know,
I don't know how you state it. I mean, you'd have to state it in a vague enough way that, you know, operationally the person has to police the values of the community or something, you know, whatever that is. And again, it's hard to gauge.
And there are some black and white ones, like, for instance, communism shouldn't be taught or promoted in our schools. And I bring that up for a very specific reason, because I mentioned the concerns I had a while ago, and that was a concern, is that I heard there was a whole troop of Boy Scouts was asked what they thought of communism, and they said, oh, it's great when it's done right. And the troop leader was like, where'd you learn that? And they said, high school. So I happened to run into somebody I knew, graduated a couple years ago, serving in the Air Force, and I asked him the exact same question, he gave me the exact same answer. So that's concerning to me. Which is why I requested the syllabus, just to kind of get an idea as to, mm-hmm. you know, what's going on here. So, you know, I guess it got me thinking, at what point is, I know nobody here it endorses that or would allow that, but, you know, what point is that?
Yeah, Doug, but I can see the discussion of that. I mean, socialism probably is, you know, we could have that argument all over the place, but I can definitely understand that. I can't imagine that being a promotion. more than a comment that
I would argue, the only reason I argue is because in both cases it took 2 seconds of education about what communism really leads to and what makes us, and that is a direct enemy of this. It's an enemy of our Constitution and our liberties. And the light goes on. So if those kids had been getting that kind of, you know, input, they wouldn't have so willingly said, "Oh yeah, communism's great." That's concerning. You have to admit, that's concerning, right?
Absolutely.
So okay,
I just the way you said it, I apologize.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I'd rather you laugh about it. You know, and it's not necessarily has to be worked in the job description, but it's.
I almost have to think that's. It's almost, it's almost implied. I mean, why would you hire?
The person who sits in a seat won't last very long if they're not mirroring the values of the community.
Yeah, but you as board members would get hammered. I mean, really, it's
what's that?
Well, if all of a sudden we came out with a curriculum that was communism positive,
right, sure,
you know what
right.
I'm saying? And the superintendent figured that was great. It wouldn't take long for the board to decide that was.
But my point is who's ensuring it's not happening? And I know Larry is, but
right.
And it sounds far fetched because we're here in Marysville.
No,
but
no.
When you see it, it happens. I mean, we see some of the stuff that they play in some schools around this country, and it's pretty scary.
I don't know how you add that, but it's almost an implied qualification, I would think, that you're going to reflect your community.
And that was my point.
Yeah.
You know, how is...
But could you add it under major policy responsibility at the end, and all of these duties should be carried out in accordance with the
values
of the community.
Community.
Oh, well,
community.
Yeah, that
you know, just we can add that line in there.
Yeah, yeah. I like that.
And that would be fine.
So
yeah.
Under that... All of these should be carried out in accordance with the
values of the community.
John, whatever we said.
You always manage to pull together.
Just trying to get it out of here.
I'm trying to.
That's why you're in the middle.
That's right. How do we get to the bottom of this?
Values of what?
Of the community.
Of the community.
The majority?
That's grammatically correct.
The majority of the community, or the?
I think you have to.
Well,
I think you want to identify it.
That's, again, Earl, you could sit here all night and judge that.
If I had
but
hair,
I think,
I could split
I think
it
you
all
do
day
end
on
up
it.
Judging it. You really do. I mean, you get that
right.
sense, and we've already been through one of
right.
those.
But you're,
and you got a sense, really, of kind of where it was, and you're always going to have folks that fall on either side of that, always, but you're going to have. Where kind of where it is, you're going to get that, and if you're out of sync of that, you're going to know that too.
Because you could argue all day about, well, is it a farming community? Is it a,
yeah,
this, absolutely. That, and the other, and those have different values. Well, they do, but they don't. You know,
your job is to judge them, and their job is to judge you.
Right.
And that's where we are, the judge.
Yeah.
You come,
you're coming to judge.
Mm-hmm. All right. Was there any other comments on that? I mean, are we okay moving forward with that addition? On it?
Yes.
Okay.
I thought long.
No, that's a great idea.
It out. He did.
Yeah,
that's why
he's a bottom line kind of guy. That's all there is to it.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. All right, then I move that we accept the superintendent job description with the changes as discussed. We have to approve. There's no voting approval on here, but we do have to vote that in.
You do.
Yeah.
You do.
And he's second. Doug
second. You're killing me. You're
approved. Oh, I'm sorry. I need a roll call, please. Thank you.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
We're just writing stuff.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
And again, we're that kind of bewitching hour here, dude. I just assume.
Oh my gosh, it's
time. We can push that off for another month.
I would just.
But if we push it off for another month, it's going at the front of our agenda the next time.
That's
okay?
So 23 becomes one?
Next, yeah. Well, after the pledge and whatnot.
Actually, I'll have some more update next week anyway. That's actually, I think, that will add to it. So
that's it, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
and then we need to go into executive session.
Yes,
again.
We do.
I need to
Well, we can take a 5-minute potty break.
Need to go to the refrigerator.
Is there anybody else that need to address the board before we leave? Anybody at all? Last chance.
No action.
Yeah, there will be no action after we get out of executive session. So I need a motion to move into executive session then, please.
Yeah.
I'll second that. Yeah, right there. Roll call, please.
Mr. Fraser.
Yeah.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lasseter.
Yes.
I can't believe I voted yes to go back into
it. You don't have to teach me how to swim. I know how to swim.
No,
you can go. You can leave now if you don't want to stay.
I'm going to leave.
Well, you kept pointing at her.
Questions.
I know. I'm thinking the same thing.
Whoever can answer them. But cost of the two new buses that are being